welcome to Good Questions, Real Answers. I'm Kimberly with Line and Lamb Ministries, and today we have a special guest with us. Eddie Chumney is here to speak about his August Yavo article that we put out this month so that you can get some answers to those specific questions you have. Eddie, welcome.
Hey, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the program today.
Awesome. We're glad to have you, and those questions have been coming in about the August article, so let's jump in. Here's the first question. This gentleman asks, on page 4 of your article, you have a quotation there. And he says, you seem to be quoting from Isaiah, but when he looks up the scripture, that's not Isaiah. So can you answer that question for him?
Yeah, actually, if you look what's here on page 4, the reference is to the rule of the community.
Yes.
In the Dead Sea Scroll document, 1 Qs 8:12-14. So that is what's being quoted.
Yes.
And in that reference, it makes a reference to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3.
Yes.
So since the people are already familiar with Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, it doesn't say in the Qumran text that this is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. But in order for me to show our readers that when they quoted the verse, it was coming from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, mm-hmm. I put it in parentheses
yes.
at the very end. So the quotation marks isn't quoting mm-hmm. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. It's quoting the reference
yes.
in the Dead Sea Scrolls that is making a reference to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. So in order to see that, I guess you need to pay a little bit more closer attention to the English grammar and,
sure.
and the English quotations.
Sure. And could you read that for us?
Yeah,
I just want to get a chance to hear that.
So it says, from the rule of the community, quoting 1 Qs 8:12-14, and when these become of the community of Israel, according to all these rules, they shall separate from the habitation of unjust men. And then I put in parentheses, this is referring to the corrupt temple system.
Yes.
And shall go into the wilderness to prepare there a way of him, as it is written. And now it's making a reference to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, prepare in the wilderness the way, and I put dot, dot, dot,
yes.
make straight in the desert a path for our God. So it is referring to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. That's why I ended the reference to putting it in parentheses. So
yes.
that is not a quote of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, and it's full context.
Right. It's sort of a reference within the quote from the scroll. They have a reference to Isaiah.
Exactly.
And you're just denotating that for our readers so that they know, hey, they were writing about scriptures that they knew.
Because the concern here in the question was this is adding to the Word of God.
Yeah.
So obviously anybody can open up their Bibles and see that when these become of the community in Israel, they're mm. referring to their group.
Yes.
It's not trying to quote Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, when they're referring to the community
the
of Israel.
The group itself.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you for that clarification.
Yep.
Okay. Our second question says, on page 6.
Yep.
Eddie says in the second paragraph, God told the nation of Israel that they are a holy people, as in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, and that they are not to follow the ways of the Gentile nations. That's from Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 30. Many of the Gentile nations followed a lunar calendar at that time. That included Egypt, Babylon, Persia, and Greece. But later those nations switched to a solar calendar. Therefore, should we not be switching to the solar calendar so as not to follow the enemies
okay,
of
Israel? Okay, so what we're trying to do is go back to the beginning.
Yes.
We're trying to look at the calendar that God gave to his people. And one of the points I made in the article is even though the scholarship refers to the calendar that comes from the Qumran, which we're calling the Zadok priestly calendar,
yes.
although they refer to it as a solar calendar because it's close to 365 1/4 days. That's why I said in a strict sense,
yes.
it is not a solar calendar because it's not 365 1/4 days. It is a priestly calendar that is 364 days.
Mm-hmm.
And a calendar of 364 days none of the nations of the world ever followed a calendar of 364 days.
Right.
So that calendar in itself is unique to Israel. And the Qumran community believed that the origin of this calendar did not come from the Zadok priest, that it actually was given to Enoch. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, that's why I went on in the article and showed in Exodus chapter 16 that when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, mm-hmm. that they were following this calendar. So this would be a priestly calendar.
Right.
And if you just step back and just think about it logically, would the children of Israel be following a Babylonian calendar in the wilderness, and they haven't even yet gone into Babylonian captivity?
Right. Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And so they're going to be following the calendar that the Qumran community believed that was originally given to Enoch. And so therefore, if it was given to Enoch, then ultimately it was followed by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. But when they go to Egypt, whose calendar they got to follow when they go to Egypt? They're going to be following Pharaoh's calendar.
Yes.
And Pharaoh had a lunar calendar. So this is why in Exodus in chapter 12, while they were still in Egypt, it says, Exodus 12, verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. So yes. This was given in the land of Egypt. And then verse 2, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you, that he gives them a calendar command. So this is regarded as the first commandment, as you might say. So we're not talking back what was said here in the garden in Genesis,
right,
etc. But in the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, this is regarding as the first commandment. So the first one that was given was get on the right calendar.
Yes.
Which means that they weren't on the right calendar in Egypt. And so actually this is a restoration. If it was originally given to Enoch, then it got departed, and now the calendar is going to be restored.
Yes.
So here the children of Israel are on an Exodus journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. And one of the Torah understandings is that journey is prophetic of the children of Israel coming out from the nations and returning back to the land of Israel in the end of days. And so what we're reading in the Torah is we're reading a prophecy. Therefore,
yes,
the returning and the restoration of the calendar is going to be prophetic.
Yes.
That's associated with the days of the end of the exile and the days of the greater exodus.
Yes. So it would be, would we consider that one of those mysteries that's being unveiled here in the last days, basically?
Well, I'd say it's one of the things that's been hidden.
Yes.
And so this is a part of what I believe is of the ministry of the spirit of Elijah.
Yes.
Here in the end of days before the Messiah returns. And Yeshua himself said, or it is written in Matthew chapter 17, verse 10, where Yeshua was asked, why do the scribes teach that Elijah must precede the coming of the Messiah? Mm-hmm. Is that a proper understanding? Is that a proper teaching? And Yeshua answered and said, yes, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. So there's a very popular song in our days that's well known in the body Messiah, and the song is, these are the days of Elijah.
Yes.
And so is that just a nice song that we sing, or is the God of Israel trying to get our attention that we really are living in the days of Elijah?
Yes.
And if we are, what does the days of Elijah look like? Well, these are days of restoration. Well, what is the things that need to be restored? Well, restore means something was in its original state, it departed from its original state, and we're going back to its original state.
Yes.
And so, you know, the children of Israel were unfaithful in many things and in many areas. Mm-hmm. And so are we really trying to say that while they were faithful in many things, they were unfaithful in many areas, that they were faithful in keeping the calendar?
Right.
Or did they depart in keeping the calendar as well? Well, I'd like to say that they departed from the original calendar that they were given. And a part of the restoration of the ministry of Elijah is to restore that calendar.
Yes.
And I actually think it's the last major restoration before the coming of the Messiah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to that.
We are.
Yes.
We're all looking forward to the coming of the Messiah.
Amen and amen. Okay. Our next question.
Okay.
This question is about the priesthood. It says, first, Eddie explains that the Zadoks are priests and that they were to settle matters of controversy. This viewer says, I agree with that. He gives two Old Testament examples, and then he gives one New Testament example, the Acts 15 controversy. And it is explained that the controversy was settled by James, the brother of Yeshua. But he says, James is not a Zadok priest or a Levite, and so why are we connecting James, giving James as an example in terms of the Zadok priesthood?
Well, what we're actually doing is explaining Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the reason why we're explaining Deuteronomy 17, verses 8 and 9, is because in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 15, which is
yes.
talking about the sons of Zadok, it says about them in Ezekiel 44, 24, that in controversy, the Lord says, now this is the Lord's opinion now, the Lord is saying that in matters of Torah controversy, they, the sons of Zadok, they will stand in judgment. They will judge it according to my judgments, and they will keep my laws and my statutes and my assemblies. That's
yes.
the Moedim. That's the festival. So the Lord specifically said when there's controversy about when and how to follow the festivals, that the Zadok priest will make the ruling in the matter. Well, we don't have Zadok priests on the earth today. We can't
right.
identify one. But we have this principle that history is prophecy. And
yes.
so there was a controversy over the calendar, primarily between the Zadok priests and the Pharisaic sect.
Mm-hmm.
And many people don't know that that controversy was for over 200 years. I mean, that's a long time.
Yes.
To have a calendar dispute about the issue. And the calendar that the Zadok priests followed is in the Qumran, but because we didn't have that information until 1947, it in effect got lost. It got rediscovered
yes.
with the founding of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and that's how that helped us to go back and understand some of the Jewish history, particularly the history regarding the high priesthood of Israel. And so now when we're trying to convey what this is referring to in controversy, we said it refers to Deuteronomy in chapter 17 and verses 8 and 9. Now, not all of our audience is going to know that Deuteronomy chapter 17 verses 8 through 11 is what the Pharisaic sect, or today the Pharisaic sect, calls themselves, or they're referred to as Orthodox Judaism.
Yes.
Today, they claim these verses as the authority of the rabbis
mm-hmm.
and the authority of the Sanhedrin. So given that there is a calendar dispute, they're disputing over interpretation of the Bible. They're disputing over authority. So the rabbis and the Sanhedrin, they're trying to assert their authority to follow the calendar and not accept the authority of the high priesthood of Israel, not accept the authority of the Zadok priests. So because this is a major issue of contention, what I was trying to do in the article is I'm trying to say, okay, first of all, do we have any scripture in the Tanakh, the Hebrew
mm-hmm.
scriptures, that give us an understanding of how these verses were seen? I said the answer is yes.
Yes.
And so we have the example of 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 8, and then the one we just referred to, Ezekiel 44, 24. So then I said, well, there is actually in Acts chapter 15 a reference to these verses as well. And like the person that asked the question points out, it was James that made the ruling.
Yes.
So actually it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 17, it says, you shall, this is verse 9, and you shall come unto the priests, the Levites, and into the judge that will be in those days.
Ah.
Okay? And so it was accepted that James was the leader of the believing community
yes.
in Jerusalem. So he was regarded as the judge that represent the believing community in matters. And so the question is, was James a Pharisee? Was he connected to the rabbis? Was he connected to the Sanhedrin? Mm-hmm. Well, he wasn't. So
right.
was he independent? Or did he have some affiliation and association with the Qumran? But the point I was trying to make in Acts chapter 15 is that that ruling was not made by the rabbis. It was not made by the Sanhedrin. Therefore, the three examples that we have in our Bibles of interpretation of Deuteronomy chapter 17, 8 through 11, none of those three examples specifies that that authority is to the rabbis and
right.
the Sanhedrin, mm-hmm. wherein Orthodox Judaism claims that they have that authority. So why does that pertain to us, how Orthodox Judaism sees within their faith and their belief system regarding how they view Deuteronomy 17, 8 through 11? It's because people in our movement, they are referring to and they're stating that somehow they have authority to tell us how we're supposed to keep the biblical festivals.
Right.
So I'm trying to show that it's an invalid connection mm-hmm. for us to see that they have the authority to establish for us biblically, according to Torah, when we're supposed to keep the festivals. So that's the context mm-hmm. by which I was sharing Acts
yes.
chapter 15 and why I referred to
James.
I was more referring to Deuteronomy 17, 8 through 11, more so to specifically the Zadok priests themselves,
right.
although the Zadok priests do have the authority in Deuteronomy
yes.
chapter 17, verses 8 through 11.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's an important connection to make because it is a little bit confusing when you're first learning about all of these intricacies.
Mm-hmm.
And so people might say, well, like this gentleman, well, James isn't a Levite priest, so why does he have authority? Well, because it says, just as you pointed out, that a judge,
yes.
and he was recognized as the judge in that time. So we have to read carefully.
Right.
And I think you made an excellent connection there in the magazine article about that.
Thank you.
For us to learn. Okay, our next question is about the spring and the barley. There's been a lot of confusion about this as we've been coming to the Zadok calendar. A lot of people have a controversy about this, so let's see what we can determine. It says, how is it determined that the spring equinox is the beginning of the year and the beginning of the first month? Moses was told by Jehovah himself that the first month of the year was when the barley was in the stage of Aviv, meaning spring. That is not naming the month of Aviv, it's just the stage of the barley. When the barley was not yet ripe for harvest, but about 2 weeks from harvest, it's springtime. That only happens one time in the year, so there would not be any confusion. Now that Aviv was determined, every month starts on the sighting of the new moon, so that the first month would be determined of the year. Anyone can see when a barley is Aviv, and anyone can see the moon. So they're saying, the controversy is the Zadok calendar begins on the spring equinox, and why are we departing from recognizing the barley turning in the spring as the new moon and the new month?
Well, let me tell you how I see this issue historically
yes.
in our movement. So most of us, in some form or fashion, in some way, we were in the church system.
Yes.
And we were celebrating Christmas and Easter, and we were eating pig. And then all of a sudden, God opened up our eyes and our hearts and realized that we should be following the Torah, and we had a heart
yes.
to keep the Sabbath. We had a heart to keep the festivals. So now we come to a perspective that we see that there's value in the festivals because it relates and pertains to Messiah himself.
Yes.
And so then the question we ask ourselves is, okay, how are we going to celebrate this? Well, if we're coming out of the church system, initially all that we know of is what the Jewish people are doing.
Right.
And so then, you know, that would be the default. But then later, some people became aware of things that were associated in Israel. And from my perspective, from how I understand it, were celebrating the festivals according to this barley system,
mm-hmm.
which from what I understand, is how the Karaites did it at one particular time. And of course, the Karaites, they don't believe in oral Torah, so they don't necessarily follow the rabbis and such. So when we were looking, that became a viable alternative to us.
Yes.
If we saw that we shouldn't be keeping it according to the rabbinic system, particularly if we didn't accept the rabbi's authority or oral Torah, this seemed to be a viable alternative.
Yes.
So now we get an explanation about how we're going to do it, and then we do it, and then we get comfortable with doing it.
Yes.
Now, to me, that's the evolution of how it came about. But then there was a explanation, a biblical explanation that came with it that seemed to be viable if those are like our two choices at the time.
Yes.
But now all of a sudden, now the information regarding the Dead Sea Scrolls comes out. We start studying. We see that they followed a calendar there. And then from my perspective, as I've stated, whenever you're trying to understand something, whenever you're making an argument, I don't know how often we really think through what we do.
Right.
But what we all do is we make a premise, and then we try to derive an understanding and a conclusion based upon that premise.
Yes.
Okay. So this person's question is based upon the premise of, okay, I'm doing this now because it seems to be right to me. And so that becomes his premise, wherein I'm stating as my premise for doing the priestly calendar is Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 24, where to me, this is clear that he says the ruling is according to the Zadok priest. To me, that's clear.
Yes.
Okay. So in the process by which I went through to come to a place in my walk where I believed it was valid to follow the Torah, because once I see I'm supposed to keep the festivals, once I see I'm supposed to be keeping the Torah, that doesn't mean I have everything resolved about how do I explain Acts 15? How would I explain Peter's vision? How do I explain Romans? How do I explain Galatians? Which Monty's done, you know, a great series to go through all that. But that doesn't mean I understand it when I'm in my process of learning. So I came across one day, and this is what sealed it for me, okay? Romans chapter 3, verse 31. I did not know this was in my Bible. I never heard it quoted in church. And since I read this and saw this in my Bible, I haven't heard it quoted in Christianity since.
Wow.
And so Romans 3:31 says, do we as Jew and non-Jew, do we make void the law through faith? And so Christianity teaches that Paul says, yes, we make void the law through faith. That's what they're teaching, that he says all the time, every Sunday. But then he answers his question, says, God forbid, we establish the Torah.
Amen.
Okay, so when I saw the words, we establish the Torah, I asked myself a question. Am I going to somehow going to rationalize that it actually doesn't say that? Now, to me, that's explicit. That's clear.
Very.
So now, that doesn't mean I understand everything else and all the other issues that people were trying to say, well, no, we're not supposed to follow the Torah. I just start there and say it's clear. Now I'm going to try to understand. I'm going to try to reconcile. In the same way, this is how I view Ezekiel in chapter 44, verse 24, the same that I saw Romans chapter 3, verse 31. And so Ezekiel 44, 24, again, we've quoted it here in this Q&A, but I just want to do it again. It says, in controversy they, that is the Zadok priest, the God of Israel said the Zadok priest, that they will rule in matters of Torah controversy, and they will tell me when to keep the festivals.
Yes.
Okay, now to me that is clear, just like Romans 3:31 is clear.
Crystal.
Okay, so then, just as a backup, people say, well, where is it in the Torah? Okay, so that's why in the article went over Exodus 16 and showed that the second month and the 23rd day is Sabbath.
Yes.
On the Zadok priestly calendar. So now I see it in the Torah. And so that becomes my premise.
Yes.
Okay? Wherein the person that's asking this question, their premise is probably going to be what they're currently doing and what they currently understand and what they're currently been taught and how it's been explained to them. So actually the biblical months are months 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the priestly reference to the months of the year.
Yes.
And so when it says the first month is the month of spring. Okay, so now the question becomes is what determines what spring is. Now, what I'm not trying to do, I'm not trying to be a scientific analyst here.
Right.
What I'm doing is I have to first accept what the scripture says.
Yes.
And so I'm doing that first rather than me being my own scientific analyst.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so it's understood even in today's world that spring basically starts following the spring equinox.
Yes.
Okay. And so whatever reason, and the reason that the Zadok priests gave in the Qumran for why their year starts on the first Wednesday following mm-hmm. the spring equinox is they're basing it on scripture. They're basing it on the Torah. They're basing it on creation,
yes.
that the sun, moon, and stars were created on the fourth day. So therefore, it was their understanding that that becomes the first day of the year, and that is how the calendar works. Now,
yes.
if we go to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2, okay, where a lot of people refer to this, and what they do often is they read into the text what they're currently doing instead of allowing the text to speak for itself. So in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, it says, this month, and this in Hebrew, this is Zeh, mm-hmm. month is Hodesh. So this month shall be unto you. And where it got translated as beginning of months,
mm-hmm.
the Hebrew says Rosh Hodesh.
Right.
So when we have on our calendars, when it's written on our calendars, Rosh Hodesh, mm-hmm. when we're following the Orthodox Jewish calendar, they have that as the first day of the month.
Yes.
Okay, so they associate Rosh Hodesh is the first day of the month. But actually the word Rosh just means that which is preeminent, that which is most important.
Mm-hmm.
So all that this is saying in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, is that of the 12 months of the year, they're not all equal.
Right.
That the first is Rosh, the first is head. And so this doesn't say that the calendar is based upon sighting the new moon,
right.
which is a part of the barley system that people follow. It just says the first month is the most important month. It's Rosh, it's preeminent. Sometimes it's translated as top of the mountain.
Yes.
So it's preeminent, it's most important, but it doesn't say it's the first day. Neither does it say that I sight the moon.
Right.
And so therefore it's a part of that sighting of the moon, and then how they then try to render the spring of the year based upon a lunar system.
Yes.
And part of the point that I tried to make here in the article is that Israel did not have a lunar or a solar calendar system. They had a priestly system that was unique to them,
mm-hmm.
that the Qumran community believed it was given to Enoch by one of the angels of God.
Yes.
So therefore it came from God. And so it got lost. And so this is what we're doing as an alternative to the system because we didn't know. So the question is, are we willing to look at restoration?
Yes.
And what was done in the beginning? So there's detailed elements regarding the barley and how on the calendar they see and associate the barley and its stages as it's coming to harvest.
Yes.
But it talks in the scriptures about offering it in its green ears. So it's a process of ripening. It's
mm-hmm.
it's the process of harvest. So while this is a calendar that among the Jewish sects was followed at a particular time, I don't believe that is the calendar that the God of Israel told us to follow from Ezekiel 44:24,
right.
and based upon Exodus chapter 16 that we went over the narrative there.
Yes. Thank you for that. I pray that our folks will get that they will understand that, as you said, sometimes we come to it with preconceived ideas and then we're reading the scripture with our ideas flowing through, or by something that we always do, the Hebrew calendar, and now we're trying to switch something. So I pray that explanation along with other resources and references will help them to see that
yes.
change. Okay, well, I see that we have come to the end of our program, folks. Once again, the time has gone by ever so quickly. Eddie, would you close us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We thank you for who you are, and we honor you, and we're all endeavoring to seek you and to follow you according to how you commanded us to follow you. And ultimately, in order to do that, we need your leading, we need your guidance, and we need your Holy Spirit. So continue to bless us with the leading and guiding of your Holy Spirit as we endeavor to seek to draw close to you and follow after you, your ways, and your Torah. And so we thank for everyone in the audience out there that is on that path, on that pursuit, and just help us all in our path, in our walk, so that what we're doing is pleasing to you. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.